I hear this all the time. I want to scale. I want to have the biggest impact possible. I want to make more money. But if you're brand new and you're just starting out, the most important thing for you is attracting patients, right? You want to bring in new customers. And so the metrics that you're going to be paying attention to for that are for a startup phase of business where you're still trying to attract customers on a reliable basis and you're still trying to find your product market fit. You want to be looking at things like, if you know how much it costs to acquire and you know how much profit you're making at the end of the day, you can reliably start to grow that business and not go upside down. The only lever is not just more new patients, but those are typically the very top level, most important and critical metrics that we're looking at in the startup and growth phases.
Hello and welcome back to Freedom RX. I'm your host today, James Maskell, and today we are going to be talking about measuring and what to measure when building a successful practice. And we have back here as our guest, Seth Conger. He is the COO of Freedom Practice Coaching. Welcome back, Seth.
Thanks, James. One of my favorite topics, love measurement, love data. I think this is going to be a fun conversation.
I think that this is a topic that is simultaneously like super critical and also not really enjoyed by most practitioners that I've come across. And I think there's some very, I think this is an area of dysfunction that maybe holds back the functional medicine industry. I think, you know, for many practitioners I've met, they are running on intuition. They are looking as that as a primary decision support. And, that's just me spending 10 years or 20 years in the industry and speaking to practitioners. Do you think I'm about right with that?
Yeah, I would say so. The analogy I like to use here is that basically there were at a time many functional medicine practitioners, integrated medicine practitioners who were going mostly off of symptoms, right? Mostly off of story, mostly off of timeline, and weren't utilizing labs or wearables or other data points in a way that was actually driving the patient care and the patient outcome. And today, once that seemed a little pretty normal, now that seems very weird. Like if you're not using labs in your programs or your memberships to actually guide a patient towards an outcome that they want, that's a little bit of a challenge, right? So when we look at business metrics, I think we're still in those dark ages of the businesses just not knowing the most important metrics that are going to drive their business. And some of them they're afraid to know. And in other cases, it is just because they don't know which ones to look at or what they even mean to their business. But for us, looking at a profit and loss statement or looking at a set of KPIs is basically the same as looking at, a functional lab panel or even a gut test or a stool test. And so I think it's just absolutely critical to have this conversation because the most scalable businesses or even the most stable businesses that we see in functional medicine have a good handle on their data and their most important metrics. The ones that are still struggling are still trying to figure out their way or even understand in the first place what they should be looking at.
So how do you help practitioners make this mindset shift? Like what have been some of the key questions that you've asked or key analogies that you've given that have facilitated a transformation in mindset for a practitioner where they want this?
Yeah, I think the analogy we usually fall on is you wouldn't fly a plane without its instruments, right? If you're trying to fly a plane from Los Angeles to New York and you're only 1 degree off because, your intuition was that slim of a margin off, you end up in a completely different city. I think you end up in Washington, D.C. instead of New York, right? So having those instruments and understanding how to use them and those important metrics are critical to getting where you want to go. So there's a precursor to this, which is where do you want to go? And I think a lot of practitioners don't actually think about that. I hear this all the time. I want to scale. I want to have the biggest impact possible. I want to make more money. Well, more and big are not specific enough to help drive you to that place. So we spend a lot of time with our practitioners getting extremely clear on what their goals actually are across multiple different areas, what their time goals are, what their money goals are, what their impact goals are. And then we break everything down back from that. But if you don't know the destination that you're trying to achieve, it's hard to choose the appropriate metrics that you need to follow. And then it's really challenging to spend the time to actually follow those and write them down and study them. And so the, you know, that mindset shift is we just have to share with the practitioner that it's the most critical thing they can be doing with their business in order to reliably get to the goals and outcomes that they actually want to achieve.
Interesting. Okay. So I guess someone is maybe listening to this and they don't track any metrics in their practice. They're just going along. Sometimes the schedule's full, sometimes it's empty. You know, what's the first starting point to think about when starting with a business that, you know, could be going for a few years or, you know, could be new? Like, what's the most important number?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of important numbers, and the numbers stack upon each other as your business grows in complexity, right? But if you're brand new and you're just starting out, the most important thing for you is attracting patients, right? You want to bring in new customers. And so the metrics that you're going to be paying attention to for that are things like daily revenue, right? Your collections, not just your sales, but like, what are the total collections that are coming in? How many new patients am I actually bringing in on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? And then things like, how much am I spending to acquire these customers? Now, that may be free. It may be word of mouth or referrals. You may be doing a partnership event where you're attracting patients in that way, or you may have a paid marketing effort. And so you're working off of that to understand these specific metrics, right? You also need to understand your business model. So, and we can have a whole conversation around different types of business models, but when you're dealing with fee-for-service, you're dealing with a dollar amount for a certain time, right? You're also selling supplements, you may be selling labs, you're selling a lot of other things. Insurance is a whole other can of worms we won't talk about in today's session. But if you have a program type of a business model, or if you have a membership type of a business model, there are really important metrics that you should be measuring within those, right? You want to know on the program side, what of your cost of goods sold, right? Which is the stuff that you're including inside of your program. You need to know how much that costs and what percentage of the total program those costs of goods sold are. You need to understand your time allocation and a price point on that time allocation to deliver the promise of that program, right? When we're talking about membership, it's more on capacity and utilization. How much capacity do you have? How many members can you see before you max out your time, right? And then also you're looking at metrics such as retention. How many members am I retaining on a monthly basis? Another way to look at that is actually churn. That's just the opposite of retention, right? How many am I losing on a monthly basis? But those are some really important metrics that you're looking at when you're just kind of starting out. What you don't want to do is say, I'm going to manage my business out of my bank account, right? So there has to be a little bit of financial accounting going on where you're managing a little bit more of a complex business, even from the beginning, because if you're looking at just credit card charges going out and dollars coming in for the day, you're missing a larger part of the picture. And that's going to trip you up as your business grows because there's just different parts of the story that are also very important.
Awesome. Well, I know, you know, from my experience of being in the industry for a long time, you know, most practitioners, and I've learned some of this, you know, if you're talking about the different phases of business, they may have been in business for years, but they're sort of, you know, still in that startup phase. And I guess I'm just wondering, you know, what are the key numbers in that startup phase that people either miss or misinterpret that you think is maybe leading people astray from making good decisions?
Sure. So, you know, again, A little bit depends on your business model, but just in general, for a startup phase of business where you're still trying to attract customers on a reliable basis and you're still trying to find your product market fit, right? What's your optimal price point for the patients who are coming in, improving that service out? You want to be looking at things like monthly revenue, right? How many dollars are coming into your business on a monthly basis? What your profit margin is, that's really important because that's typically your take home at the end of the day. You need to understand how many number of new patients are coming in on a monthly basis, and then your cost to acquire each of those patients. Now, built into each of those, we can get a lot more complex, right? We can start breaking down that marketing funnel into its subsets. And I think that's where things get a little bit more complex. But if you know how much it costs to acquire, and you know how much profit you're making at the end of the day, you can reliably start to grow that business and not go upside down. Right. When we get into the growth phase, it gets a little bit more complex. Now we start looking at marketing funnel performance metrics, right? So these are, what is our cost of lead? If you have some education built in there, right, you would see how people are watching that education or how they're consuming it, what the hit rate is on that. You may have a discovery call or some sort of free assessment that you're doing. How many people show up to that call? What is the conversion rate afterwards, right? Then we start looking at sales conversions. So there's a number of metrics within that cost of acquisition that we're now looking at that become really important, because those are now the levers we're pulling, right? The only lever is not just more new patients. It's, can I get more new patients at a lower cost of acquisition that ends up with more profit for me as a business at the end of the day? You also start looking at things like retention rate. When you're in your startup, you're just concerned about acquiring customers and hopefully delivering on the promise that you've made to those customers. In your growth phase, you're really starting to think about, how can I retain these customers so it's not just a single term, right? Or the first thing that they buy from me is not the only thing that they buy from me. We want to have them be retained, continued customers. So you start looking at things like retention rate. We start looking at things like program completion rate. How many people get all the way to the end of their program and then maybe sign up for more versus where people are dropping off along the way. And then we also start looking at things like satisfaction, right? So if we're looking at retention, we also want to be looking at patient satisfaction. Are they satisfied with the program? Are they meeting their promises? Are they meeting their goals? And we start to look at this within our own team as well, right? So we've got all of the sales metrics, we've got our patient metrics, but then also we have to start looking at, how satisfied are my team members? What is the cost of the total salary pool for my team members? And is that the appropriate allocation in the general financial bucket, right? So there's just a lot more things we're looking at. We could talk about scale too if you want, but those are typically the very top level, most important and critical metrics that we're looking at in the startup and growth phases.
Yeah, I can see how the business model ends up reflecting the numbers that you want to, you know, you want to track. I mean, I think for most practitioners who are in fee for service, something even simpler, which is like, hey, if I do a first appointment, what percentage of people ever come back at all? You know, and I've had so many conversations with practitioners where that's, you know, they don't know that. Or when they do look at that, they see that it's lower than they expect, and they have no idea why. And so I think something in what you're saying inherently is that if you're dealing with packages or programs, or you're dealing with memberships, you know, you have different metrics to track because the model is sort of determining the metrics.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And when we get into the scaling phase, right? So this is a pretty sizable business, usually multi-million dollars in revenue. You start looking at more complex things, right? Because the levers you're pulling in that situation are also very different. So you start looking at, how do I compare my business to other businesses and benchmark myself against it? So you use things like net promoter scores, which is a generalized across an entire industry benchmarking type to figure out, are my employees happy? Are my customers happy? You know, will people refer to me? Will they suggest my goods or services, right? We also start looking at things like lifetime value. So instead of just, can I retain a customer for a secondary term, what is that customer? What is a typical customer worth to me over their life cycle, right? Which is lifetime value. So it's all of the things that the average customer purchases from you, all of the money that they spend over the course of an average lifetime for those patients. So you start looking at that number as kind of your North Star to just slowly start moving that up, and not as much focus on just how many new patients can I move in to the door. The owner starts looking at things like effective hourly value, which is how much is my time worth, right? So as a practitioner, what is my dollar per hour rate in the time that I spend in the business? What's my time as my role as a practitioner? What's my time as my role as a CEO? What's my time as a role as the janitor, if I'm still doing those things? And you start allocating and delegating the things that are still on your plate that are below that effective hourly value. And so those are some of the metrics that get a little bit more complex. But again, I just wanted to show there are different metrics to focus on at different stages of growth for the business.
So, Seth, you know, one of the things that I think that's a critical point, but I guess one of the things that I wanted to bring to what I've seen through working with you is that, you know, we're starting to solve, I guess, not just the problems of individual practitioners, but really trying to look at what are the problems that teams have. And I think this is sort of like the next big area for the independent functional medicine world, is that we need to get out of, you know, just the sort of startup phase that most clinics are in, just one practitioner, you know, and really think about scale, because we have to, you know, get to a point where we can reverse chronic illness at some reasonable scale. And it can't just be a million micro practices, right? We really have to, you know, we have to add capacity. And so I think a lot of your work that I've seen has been around teams. And I guess to that end, what are some of the best tools and resources that you've used to get coherence and get teams to work together on projects? And when do you know that it's time to start thinking in this way on the practice journey?
It's a really great question, James. So, you know, when we think about this, step one is have a team, right? So hard to use the tools and pull people together when you don't have that team. And a team is really more than yourself and one other person. We see actually a lot of couples come together and start a practice together. And, you know, one of the individuals is kind of like the main practitioner. The other is working as the business manager, and they get this thing off together and build this business. And this is not just in the functional and integrative medicine space. This is across many, many startups and many small businesses around, right? The relationship wants to support each other. As we start building that team, the dynamic starts to shift and change, right? And as we start acquiring more customers, as we start serving more customers and meeting those demands, that team is going to grow. And once we get to about five people, all of a sudden, meeting at the water cooler and having group meetings about everything starts to break down, right? You can't disseminate all of the information via just chatter and filling people in. And all of a sudden, people are very responsible for individual things that are not crossing over. And so we talk about this with, when you're in the startup phase, you're hiring generalists who can wear many, many different hats, because you, as the owner of business, are also used to wearing many different hats yourself. And you have to cross train in many areas. People have to be backups, and there's got to be redundancy inside the business for it to get to the next stage. Once you start hiring specialists, right, I'm hiring very specifically for a position, and I'm not expecting this person to do other things in the business, that's when you have to have some layer of measurements, metrics, and then also structured systems in place, or people start working in silos, they don't communicate effectively, and actually you get a lower amount of productivity than you had with less people. So the first step on that is agreeing on what's important to measure in your business at that time. And again, this is going to be a moving target as your business grows and changes. But really making this a practice of these are our, we'll grow into key performance indicators, right? But these are our key performance indicators for our business. And these measure the health of our business. And we are going to meet about these on a regular cadence to ensure that we are tracking and that we're meeting these KPIs, right? So again, think of KPIs on the business side as measuring the health of your business. So this would be things like total revenue, profit, number of new patients that you need to come in every single month. It may be cost of acquisition. It may be a retention number or even a satisfaction score. You may have some internal team KPIs as well. If you're getting really advanced, you may have a, you know, variance between financial budget and actual, right? That's for the bigger companies that are managing on like a little bit of a tighter scale. But if you want to have this set of documented KPIs, it should all fit on one page. We recommend somewhere between 7 and 10. If you have more than that, they can probably roll up into a parent KPI. But it covers your entire business and you can say, great, if we hit these numbers, we know our business is healthy. And we want different people in our business to own these KPIs. So in the beginning, you may be the owner of all of them, but eventually you're parsing those out. So the person who's responsible for sales owns the sales KPIs. The person who's responsible for finance owns your finance KPIs. The person who's responsible for service or taking care of the patients, maybe if that's your clinical director, they're responsible for the satisfaction of your patients, right? So you build in ownership of these KPIs. And then also behind that comes, how do I gather this data? How do I aggregate this data and bring it up so it's in a simplified form that everybody can know, okay, cool. Here are the areas that for the last couple quarters we've been lagging. Here are the areas that we're exceeding. And here are the areas that we're spot on. Did we misjudge what the KPI should have been? Or did we just have a bad quarter in this area, right? So I think that's step one. Make sure you have KPIs in place that are critical and measure the health of your business. The next part about this is, how do I grow a business, right? So like, great that we can manage stability for our business, and really cool that I can move our revenue KPI from $60,000 up to $80,000 per month. But how do I actually achieve the growth between 60 and 80? It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't just magically happen because I put a number down there. There has to be associated work that goes on behind the scenes that is planning for this. And that's when I structure like project planning and certain cadences around that is really helpful. So for that, we use OKRs. OKRs are called objectives and key results. Think of this very simply as the objective is the what you want to achieve. The key results are how you're going to achieve it, right? So objective is the what, key results are the how. And in that framework, this is measuring growth of your company. So on a 90-day cadence, which is a quarter of the year, you can say, we are going to accomplish these 3 to 5 objectives with the associated key results. And then that way, the whole team is oriented to what we're working on, where we're putting our attention that is above and beyond just roles and responsibilities, right? Your like daily roles and responsibilities. And then how we're going to accomplish this together. And that creates that communication, right? And cohesion across your team of what's actually important. It also defends against squirrels and shiny objects, which are every visionary founder's favorite thing to do is say, but I have a new idea and I want to change the entire focus of all of our people to focus on this idea, right? And that's obviously, that really beats a team down when they never get to actually see something come to fruition. And so a system like OKRs really allows you to actually accomplish what you set out to accomplish, what everybody agreed on was the most important things to get to the next metric within a short enough cadence. There's a little bit more behind that, and we can chat about that here or in a different time. But the point I definitely want to make is that OKRs, right, objectives and key results, must have an impact on your KPIs, right? If they don't, then you either don't have the right health measurement in place, or you're just doing something because you thought it was exciting and it doesn't actually impact the business.
Yeah. I just wanted to reflect back to you that, you know, having been in functional medicine for 20 years, when I started to come to, you know, some of the legacy retreats that I was invited to, you know, just seeing practitioners there and having conversations with them and seeing how crisp they were on their metrics, and not just the current metrics, but future metrics that they were going to get to and how that was going to lead to future decisions. It was really wonderful to see that, because I hadn't seen a lot of that. Obviously, there are sort of unicorns in the space and clinics that are built really big because they have the infrastructure of people who built stuff in other industries, or, you know, just to have that. But the average practitioner wasn't doing that, in my estimation. And so to be in a room or on an island or in another country, you know, with people who were doing that, and knew that their business was not going to collapse if they were away for 2 weeks, you know, was really great. It gave me a lot of hope that, you know, that this independent practitioner model and the role of the independent practitioner could be held onto and cherished and be a model for the future, which I think I want and you want and practitioners listening all want too.
Yeah. You know, James, I think you said it, the average practitioner, the average practitioner is not thinking about a logical way to grow. Right? The average practitioner is in reactionary mode and dealing with putting out fires every single day. And they are just trying to get by with bringing in enough money and enough new patients to offset the expenses that they have and make it through the end of the month and keep things going. And it's really hard to think proactively, right? KPIs and OKRs are a very proactive way of thinking. But just like in health, if we're not being proactive about our health, that's when chronic disease happens. And if we're not being proactive about our business, that's when chronic problems in the business tend to creep up and keep us reactionary and keep the business not necessarily just small, because a lot of businesses want to stay small, right? And there's nothing wrong with staying small and stable as staying small when you don't want to be small, but you're being reactionary. That's the challenge there. And I think, you know, I'm really proud of all of our clients, of our legacy clients specifically. They have chosen to take a very, very proactive long-term path, right? Because this doesn't happen overnight, of putting in these structures into their business for the betterment of their business 6 months from now or for a year from now. And a lot of people don't think about future me. You know, it's more like, hey, I'm going to go out drinking tonight and future me can worry about that hangover, right? In this case, we're thinking about future me with, I'm actually setting up the structures today that are not going to have a huge impact tomorrow, but they are going to have a huge impact 6 months from now on my team, on my time, on my energy, and then actually on the patient outcomes, because we'll be able to focus more on that. And that's what I love doing, is identifying that inflection point when you should be thinking about these things. Because I'm, you know, remember we went over the startup stuff. You don't want to be thinking about OKRs when you're in startup. It is too much structure and almost too slow for a business that's still trying to find its footing. If you're trying to acquire customers, don't worry about project management specifics. Don't worry about getting a tool to handle all of your data and your KPIs. Worry about bringing customers in the front door. Worry about the business model that you're supposed to have. And then from there, you know, it's about catching them at that inflection point to add in the proactive steps before they grow and introduce reactivity back in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, I think this has been really helpful, and I'm thinking that any type of practitioner, whoever's listening to this, will understand now, you know, some of the different things that they could be measuring, and will take some proactive action. If you want to get into a conversation with this, feel free to go to freedompracticecoaching.com. You can book a strategy call with one of our team. We'll take you through a whole process to understand exactly what you should be measuring. And, you know, if you have other ideas of other topics you'd like to hear on the Freedom Rx podcast, feel free to reach out to marketing@freedompracticecoaching.com. And we'd love to take on whatever topics make sense for you, what you'd like to learn about, so that you can build a strong, sustainable practice. We are here for it. And also, if you're wherever you're listening to this, please subscribe, whether it's podcasts or whether you're watching on YouTube, and you'll be the first to know when we bring out more new content. Seth, thanks so much for being such a great guest, having such a wealth of information, and really excited to do another great episode here at the Freedom RX podcast. Thanks everyone for tuning in. See you next time.